It's a genuine pleasure to be with you today on Know Your Bible. We do appreciate your watching today. We have a very interesting subject for you today, when we all get to heaven. We all are interested in heaven, and I want to talk about that today, what we can expect when we all get to heaven. And so I hope that you'll continue to watch for the next few minutes. We're delighted to have people watching Know Your Bible all over the United States and in several foreign countries. And we have heard from so many of you, and we appreciate the fact that you are interested in studying the Word of God. To enhance your study, we are providing for you a free Bible correspondence course. And I'd like to emphasize that it's free. I know we have people call occasionally, and they'll inquire as to how much they should send in for the course. And we're not interested in your sending us money. We're interested in sending you the Bible course absolutely free of charge. We want you to have this so that you can get to know your Bible much, much better. And we want to provide it for you so you can study in the privacy of your own home in a structured way so that you can learn more about how you can be pleasing to God. Now that you might learn more about how to receive the course, we'd like to pause for just a moment. I'd like to read now from Philippians, the third chapter, beginning in verse number 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this, even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same things. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. I read the story once about a war veteran who was on his deathbed, and a preacher came to him and he said, are you afraid to die? And here was a man who had been in the thick of battle and possibly was afraid even while he was in the thick of battle. And now he is being asked, are you afraid to die? And the man said, I'm not afraid to die, but I am afraid of that which comes after I die. Those who are unsaved would do well to be afraid. In the text that I've read to you from Philippians, the third chapter, there is a contrast made. There's a contrast made between those who mind earthly things and those who mind heavenly things. Why, Paul said, our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. And those whose citizenship is in heaven are to mind heavenly things. That is, we're to be concerned about the spiritual and things that would be designed to help us to go to heaven once this life is over. But in contrast to that, if you'll notice in the 18th and 19th verses, there were those who were referred to as being enemies of the cross of Christ, and those people were minding, if you'll notice in verse 19, earthly things. And really that's the same contrast there is between people today. Those who are minding earthly things, they're just concerned about the here and now. They're just concerned about what's happening in their lives today without any thought about tomorrow. But then on the other hand, there are those who live every day of their lives with tomorrow in mind. And they're thinking about God. They're thinking about Jesus. They're thinking about the revelation given to us through the Holy Spirit. That is the Bible. They're thinking about living their lives in such a way that one day, God, when God calls them, He will call them home to heaven. And so we need to be among those people who are minding heavenly things. Paul said our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. You see, heaven is a place that has been prepared for people. It is prepared for people who have prepared themselves. Jesus in John 14 said, I go to prepare a place for you. So heaven is a place prepared. And so we need to prepare ourselves, but how do we do that? Well, I'd suggest to you that we do not prepare to go to heaven by the accumulation of earthly things, wealth, money, and the like. That's not going to get the job done. And we're not going to prepare ourselves to heaven just because someone else has prepared themselves to go to heaven. If we are prepared, it will be because our sins have been washed away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a song that we often sing about a fountain filled with blood, and that fountain flows from the veins of Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh. And He came into this world, lived, and died upon the cross for the sins of all humanity. And it is through that blood that we are saved from our sins. Revelation 1:5 contains two sentences, but in the second sentence of that passage we read these words, unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. And so what is it that can wash away our sins? The only thing that can cleanse us of our sins is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once we have had our sins cleansed in that blood, we then are prepared to go to heaven one day. And our interest and our concern is then in those things that transcend time and this old world. And so in order that we might have our sins cleansed in that blood, we must believe that Jesus Christ was the divine Son of God. Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. We must be willing to repent of our sins, because the Lord said in Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And in order that our sins be forgiven, as penitent, confessing believers, that is, believers who are willing to confess their faith in Jesus Christ, we are to be immersed into Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. When Peter was asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? In Acts the 2nd chapter in verse 38, he answered by saying, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so those who repent of their sins and those who are baptized into Christ receive the forgiveness of their sins, and then they have the hope of eternal life. And one day, those who've had their sins cleansed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will be with God in heaven. That's when faith will fade into sight. There's a song frequently sung in worship services across the land entitled, When We All Get to Heaven. I want us to think about that today. When we all get to heaven, we're going to see the Father. There is a Father, and those who are His children will see Him one day. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Jesus, in teaching the disciples to pray, taught them in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 to pray like this, Our Father, which art in heaven. And our Father is in heaven. According to Psalms chapter 11 and verse 4, He reigns in heaven. According to Jeremiah the 23rd chapter and verse 24, He fills heaven. There He says, I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. So God is the one who reigns in heaven. God is the one who fills heaven. And He even sends judgments from heaven. In Romans the 1st chapter and verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. And so God is in heaven. And when we get to heaven, we're going to see our Father. There was an elderly preacher who lived some 25 or 30 years ago by the name of Gus Nichols. I heard Brother Gus Nichols preach many times. I think he's the greatest preacher that I've ever known. He is a godly man. And someone called on him one day to preach on why he wanted to go to heaven. He wasn't known for short sermons. As a matter of fact, when he had preached an hour, he was just getting ready maybe for the second hour. And for the entirety of his sermon on why he wanted to go to heaven, it was because his Father was there. He wanted to go to heaven because his Father was there. I suggest to you that when we all get to heaven, one of these days, we're going to see the Father. It is said that it was worth the trip across the ocean to look on the face of Gladstone. I don't know about that, but I can tell you one thing. It's going to be worth all of the misery, heartache, pain, suffering, effort, dedication, commitment that we endure down here in this old world to see the face of our Father. But then again, when we all get to heaven, we're going to see Jesus Christ the Son. Now, Jesus came from heaven. In John 6:38, Jesus said, I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. So you see, He came down from heaven. In Acts, the first chapter, in verse 11, we learn that He went back to heaven. There an angel said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus whom you have seen taken up shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. So Jesus came from heaven, and He went back to heaven. And one of these days, when we get to heaven, there He will be standing at the right hand of God. In Hebrews 12:2, we learn that He is now seated at God's right hand. But in Acts the 7th chapter, when Stephen died, Jesus is pictured as being standing at the right hand of God. As it were, He was standing to receive the sainted dead. And one of these days, we're going to see Him. 1 John 3:2 says that we shall see Him as He is. That's one of the most thrilling thoughts there is in all the Bible. That when we get to heaven, we will see Jesus Christ as He is. Notice our text from Philippians 3. Our conversation, that is our citizenship, is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking for Him to come. And when He comes back, we're going to see Him. Revelation 1:7 says that every eye shall see Him, they that pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. And so we're going to see Him. We'll see Him as He is. So when we all get to heaven, we're going to see the Father. When we all get to heaven, we'll see the Son. Fanny Crosby said, and you may recall she was a blind songwriter, and she said that the first face that she expects to see is the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, we're going to see the Son. And then when we all get to heaven, we're going to see the saved. Matthew 8:11 tells us that there's going to be a time that we'll sit down in the kingdom with such likes as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we're going to be there with all of the redeemed of all of the ages. Someone says, do you believe that we'll recognize one another in heaven? Well, in Matthew 8:11, Abraham was Abraham, Isaac is Isaac. In Matthew, the 17th chapter, at the transfiguration of Jesus Christ, there were those visitors from the other world. There was Moses and Elijah, and they had not lost their identities. We do not lose our identity in death. In Luke, the 16th chapter, there is the reading about the rich man and Lazarus. One man died, lift up his eyes in torment. The other man died, and he was in Abraham's bosom. The rich man, after death, was still the rich man. The poor man, after death, was still Lazarus. He had not lost his identity. And it is interesting that Abraham is still referred to as being Abraham. I do not believe the Bible to teach that we lose our identities in death. There is every indication, every piece of evidence to indicate that we retain our identity even in death. Now, that being said, we are going to recognize those we've known in this life. We'll not sustain the same type relationships, but we, according to Jesus, in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, will be as the angels of God. Well, there will not be the relationship such as a husband and wife. We're going to be in a changed body, in a changed environment. It's not going to be earthly such as we endure here on this old, in this old world, but we're going to be in a relationship that where we will be with one another in heaven. In 2 Samuel, David had a son who had died, and David was weeping over the death of his son. And David said, now he's not going to come back to me, but I'm going to be with him. David fully expected to be with his son on the other side. So when we all get to heaven, we're going to see the saved. But you know, when we all get to heaven, we're going to be done with discomfort. Maybe you're not as comfortable right now as you would like to be. Maybe your air conditioning has gone out in your home. That happens to us occasionally, doesn't it? Or maybe you're some other place where you don't have access to all of the comforts of home. But one of these days we'll be done with all of those discomforts. It may be that you're suffering right now. Maybe you're in a hospital somewhere watching our telecast and you hurt. You're in intense pain. It may be that the doctor's told you have some terrible disease that's going to eventually take your life. I want you to know that there's going to be a time that we're going to be done with such as that. It will all be over. It may be that you're going through some very difficult times in your marriage, and it has broken your heart. Maybe your spouse has been unfaithful to you, and you don't really know what to do. You are so depressed over it. You're so despondent. You're not sure that you can really go on with your life. But I want you to know there is a day coming we'll be done with all of that sort of thing. It may be that you've lost a spouse through death, and I know of several who have had that experience just recently. And sometimes we feel like we just cannot go on. We cannot go on. Or maybe there's been a knock at your door, and there stands an individual that represents the military, and they inform you that one of your children or some other loved one has been lost in the war. That hurts. That hurts in an unbelievable way. You see, it's not natural for parents to have to bury their children. It's not a natural thing. Why, our children should be the ones who bury their parents. And your heart is breaking because you've lost one that you love more than life itself. But I want you to know there is a day coming when we'll be through with all of those discomforts, and that's when we get to heaven, when we make the necessary preparation by believing in Jesus and repenting of our sins and being immersed into Jesus Christ that we might have our sins washed away in that blood, and we live a faithful, dedicated life. When we all get to heaven, we'll not have to worry about those things anymore. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you have it handy, to the book of Revelation. I want you to turn to chapter 21, and I'd like to read verse number 4. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 4. And you'll see this on the screen. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Think about that. There's going to be a day when there will be no more tears, and there shall be no more death. Can you imagine a time when there will be no more death? You'll never attend another funeral. There'll not even be a cemetery. Matter of fact, there won't even be a hospital there. He says there will be no more death, neither sorrow. Whatever it is causing the sorrow in your heart right now will evaporate. Then he says, nor crying. There will be no more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. I don't know what's causing you pain right now. All of us have something, I guess, especially as we begin to get older, that causes some pain. It might be arthritis. It might be rheumatism. It might be migraine headaches. I'm telling you, there's a time coming, there will be no more pain. Why? How can that be? Well, the former things are passed away. Pain is passed away. Crying is passed away. Sorrow is passed away. Tears are passed away. Anything that would cause those things is gone, gone forever. So when we all get to heaven, we're going to be done with discomfort. In the book of Revelation, chapter 14 and verse 13, John said, "Blessed are the dead." Well, what dead? That die in the Lord. And those who are the happy dead are those who die in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then again, when we all get to heaven, we're going to be at home. Listen to our Lord as He tries to comfort His sorrowing disciples in John the 14th chapter. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You see, there's a time coming when Jesus Christ is going to return, and He's going to come back for those who are the blood-washed multitude. Those who've had their sins cleansed in His precious blood, and He's going to take them home. We're really not at home down here. Really, the Christian has two addresses. There is an earthly address, and there is a heavenly address. Look at Philippians 3:20 again. From the American Standard Translation, our conversation, that is our citizenship, is in heaven. We are citizens of a heavenly kingdom, and that's the kingdom of God Almighty. We ought therefore to hold quite loosely to the things of this old world. In Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 and 2, Paul wrote, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth." We're not to set our affections, our desires, our love on the things that just pertain to this old world. It's so easy to get attached to the things of this world that we forget that there's a next. We need to be thinking about the next world and not this one only. There's a man of whom we read in Luke, the 12th chapter, who only thought about this world. He was a rich man. And he had amassed a great fortune. Why, so much so that he was going to have to pull down his barn so that he would have places to store all of his goods. And God said to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" And there are people now who are laying up treasures on this earth that are amassing huge fortunes. But one day those things will not be of any value to them. Because so many of these people who've amassed great fortunes have forgotten the chief purpose of being in this world, and that's to fear God and to keep His commandments. Yes, one day we're going to be at home, and therefore we need to hold loosely to the things of this world. A great preacher of another age, T.B. Larimore, once said, "We need little here and need that little long." But in conclusion, when we all get to heaven, we're going to receive our reward. Paul was reminded of that reward when he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, when he said, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them that love His appearing." Paul was anticipating his reward. His death was imminent. Back in the sixth verse, he said, "I'm ready to be offered at the time of my departure is at hand." What was he thinking about when he knew that his death was imminent? He was thinking about his future reward. And there is a reward laid up for all of those who serve the Lord. Jesus said through the pen of John in the book of Revelation, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life," Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. Yes, when we all get to heaven, but maybe we need to change that just a little bit, if we all get to heaven. And in order that we might go to heaven, we need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ by believing in Him, repenting of our sins, confessing our faith by being baptized. Would you do that today? I want to encourage you to visit the Church of Christ nearest to you, and you will find people who will help you to go to heaven. I want to thank you for watching today. May I encourage you to call, write, or to email us for the free Bible correspondence course. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.